just need a white balance there.
Yeah.
There's a light above you, but
Oh, you're here. Oh, cool. The Rooch.
Hello, Daniel.
He's like Madonna. Like, I think he's just got one. The object, the Rooch.
He is the Rooch.
All right, rolling.
Yeah.
Enjoying.
Rolling.
Okay.
There's a
go.
Well, Chris, I suppose a fair bit of contention about what happened Saturday late in the game. What's the fallout? Where's the club sitting?
Well, there's been no real fallout. Obviously, we've asked the AFL for some clarification on a couple of things, but the reality is it's Monday and we're playing West Coast on the weekend, and we need to move forward. There's no changing the result from the weekend.
There's a lot of people, you know, and it's a bit hysterical. Some of them saying there should be a financial compensation or a legal challenge. Can you rule all of that out?
Yeah, you didn't hear that from me, Tom. As I say, you know, the cycle of the AFL competition is if you get too caught up on the weekend, then you take your eye off what's in front of you. And we've got a challenge against West Coast this week that we've got to be good enough to prepare for.
What are those things that you've asked clarification about, Chris?
Oh, we've asked clarification about the process itself, obviously about the technology across the competition. But they're really matters for the AFL. At the end of the day, we can get clarification on those types of things, but fundamentally it's not going to change my position here and the job that we've got at hand for this coming week.
Would you like to see the same technology at every ground?
I think principally that's the right call, but again, that's something for the AFL to determine as to whether they want or not. But I think fundamentally it makes sense, doesn't it?
Do you have any witnesses that said that it did actually hit the post?
Do we have any witnesses? I think everyone will make their mind up. No point me adding another opinion to all of that. I think that's been done to death now, hasn't it?
What's the solution? Is there a solution? Like a post that
light
up?
It's a good point. You know, I'm not sure if there is. That's probably one of the questions that we ask. Is there technology that's out there that can avoid situations like this? I'm certainly not smart enough to come up with something on those lines, but I would have thought that it's not out of the realms of possibility to know whether something hit something or not in today's day and age. But as I say, it's something for the AFL to consider, not necessarily for us to worry about now.
How much vision is there on that goal or that kick? Do you know how much vision there is?
No, that's a question I think better directed to the AFL, Michelangelo.
Is every team's got behind the goal access? Does that?
Well, the behind the goal vision is coordinated through the AFL, so I imagine that's just another angle of, you know, what the score review would look at when they're making their decisions.
Chris, a lot of this contention came obviously when Josh Jenkins said that he would hit the post. What was your initial reaction once the ball cruised through?
We thought in the box that it had hit the post, but, you know, at the end of the day, you wait for the umpire's decision. As you say, Josh mentioned what he did after the game, and it was refreshing to see someone be as honest as he was. I wasn't the type of bloke who used to walk in cricket. If I sneak one behind, I wasn't good enough to to think that I could just walk off. So, I mean, look, as I say, it's done and dusted. We move on pretty quick. We've spoken to the AFL about it. It's not going to change what happened on the weekend. I think it's the AFL's prerogative to make whatever decisions it wants to based on what they've got at hand.
What did they say, Chris? What did they say to you when you had a chat with them?
Oh, well, again, their process that they followed, they believe is correct. You know, no one's been able to talk about the outcome yet, and I think ultimately that's the factor that needs to be addressed. But look, you know, as I say, I want to stress, at the end of the day, the Port Adelaide Football Club lost the game on the weekend, not because of the score review. You know, Adelaide had an opportunity to be far further ahead at various points in time. You know, there's no qualms from our end that we've got a fair bit to fix up ourselves, and I'm certainly not in the position where I like to coach people that I don't need to coach. Yeah, we're worried about what we can do.
I've just seen an announcement just come out about, I think Foss and Collins have re-signed. Nix and
Greaves
are moving on. So
that's right.
That's the nature of the game we're working.
Yeah, it's that time of year. The Coaches Association have their August 1 sort of deadlines about, you know, what you're going to do into the future. You know, Nixie had, and the club had been talking for a while. Nixie had been, considering, breadthening, I guess, his experience across the competition. And at the same time, I think we've got a history of freshening our coaching group up on a year-by-year basis. And Aaron had made the decision that he wanted to go back to Victoria. So, two fantastic guys who will give their all for the club for the remainder of this year, as they have for the previous, 8 and 5 respectively, and we've got no problems with that, and we'll wish them well at the end of the year. But we're all in this together for the remainder of this year.
That's the change, Chris, whereby in the past when coaches have been on they're out the next day. Is there a reason why it's changed now that you would keep them in the system?
Well, they're contracted until the end of this year, Michelangelo, for a start. And we believe that both people are of sufficient character that they can continue to do their job and focus on our football club before they turn their attention to wherever they go next, if that's in the AFL system. So, no issue from our end with keeping them on. I mean, I think we've got to be good enough in today's day. There are plenty of players right now across the competition who know they won't be playing football for their clubs next year. And we... have been through a process recently. You've seen across the media where people get castigated for making decisions early. I'm not sure that's the right way to go, and I'm very comfortable with both Matthew and Aaron doing their jobs for the remainder of this year.
Have you got an idea who you replace them with?
We'll go through that process. But there are people who obviously we'll want to speak to. It's not a surprise for us. So we'll go through that process, and we'll think about what our coaching panel looks like, which roles people are doing at the end of the year, and make those assessments once we've done a review at the end of the year, which we hope has still got a fair way to play out yet.
So that's not a surprise. So both guys, Nix and Greaves, gave you sort of notice a month or two.
They sit in the office next to me, so we have conversations like this all the time. As I say, it's not like August 1 comes and we're all starting to talk again. These things are worked through in a proper fashion. And as I say, both guys leave this footy club on really good terms. I'm sure they'll do a good job into the future at whichever club they're at.
Chris, Jill Nix has been touted as a future AFL senior coach. Was there an eagerness to keep him in?
I think, as I say, we had an opportunity to freshen our coaching group up at the same time as Matthew had a want to look at breadthening his level of experience. So it's... I think it's a win-win for both parties.
You're playing West Coast this week. What did you make of the incident?
Yeah, look, I mean, the video wasn't great. If I reflect on a situation with Tom Jonas a couple of years ago, what I do know is that people from other clubs talking about these types of incidents doesn't necessarily help anyone involved. So I think that will go out through a process from here.
Jared Pollock, obviously out of contract at the end of the year. Have you got much news on that front, or have you put it over to him?
I mean, we're still working with Jared and his management as to what 2019 looks like. These things typically go back and forth, and every player as club has an opportunity to negotiate. So Jared wants to stay at the footy club. We'll work through that over the next period of time.
Can I just take him back to that score review where you say the process that was followed was correct, but no one's talking about the outcome? What's the difference between the process and the outcome in your mind?
Well, I think the AFL's response after the game was to highlight that their process had been followed, and we acknowledge that's right. But if it can give you a definitive answer as to whether the ball hit the post or not, I think that's probably where the football community is actually angling for in this. Because if you can't, you've got to question what you've got in place. But as I say, Rich, I think that's a discussion that the AFL needs to have rather than us. I don't particularly want to be leading a charge of you know, reviewing the score review process, that's for the AFL to...
So what we've got there is a belief that score review is needed, but if it's not backed up by technology or the ability to actually get an answer, what's the point of it being there?
Well, they're your words, yeah.
So you pitch them then, this club and others, that there should be more time focused on technology and having the same technology at every venue so we can get...
I think principally that's what we want, isn't it? I mean, I don't think that's earth-shattering stuff to suggest that what's at one venue should be at another. And I don't mean that in a critical sense. I'm just saying, principally, surely we believe that that's something that should be seen as fundamental.
Just with regards to Pollock, obviously it's hard because you've only got so many dollars you can play. Even if a player's getting a lot more, you can't necessarily budge on price. Is that fair to say? That's where the situation is.
Well, I mean, generally people negotiate in football on money and time. I don't see that there's any other factors in this. As I say, Jared looks like he wants to stay. The negotiation becomes about all the things around that, and we'll work through that over the next period of time.
If he wants to stay, though, wouldn't he have signed a contract by now?
There's probably a question that you're better off asking Jared Lee. I'm not sure how you would expect me to answer that. It's... Okay. Players have the right to negotiation. We're big boys. This is a professional competition where people who play the game, it's their livelihood. I don't begrudge anyone taking their time, whether it be Jared Pollock, Tom Lynch, Ollie Wines, whoever. That's the individual's prerogative.
Dougal Howe, where's he up for this week?
I think Dougal's a really good chance to play. You know, a couple of weeks out, he's a good young defender who we think can add something to if he's fit and ready, and yeah, he'll have to train this week, but early indications would suggest that he's going to be better than a 50-50 chance.
Of the game itself, how much would today's review focus on the things Port Adelaide didn't do well?
Or the Crows did well? I think when you look at it, you know, the Adelaide Crows were significantly better than us from a clearance perspective and a contest perspective, and you can either say that we were poor or they were good. Either way, that was probably where the game was won and lost largely. So, you know, our guys have got to get better in that space if we want to continue to play in the AFL final series. That's the reality. And I think, in fairness to the Crows, they had some composure at times that we didn't show. Now, that's something that also we're going to have to get better at.
But obviously, Ollie Wines, a bit of talk about that thing. It's one of the things he probably hits 99 out of 100 at training, but you back him in, you just say, get back on the horse.
Yeah, well, I imagine it's like the score review in the sense that it happens late in the game, and so you know, you look at that as an issue. There were so many things throughout the game that we could pinpoint, you know, 50-metre penalties, you know, other issues throughout the game, which have the same consequence but at different times. As Ken said after the game, you know, Ollie is the type of person who beats himself up over these types of things. He'll be better for the experience. But as I say, across the board, I think Adelaide showed some better composure than us, and we'll need to get better at that.
50-metre penalties, what was the Westhoff one for?
I'm not sure.
There seems to be a growing trend with AFL players taking a snap instead of a drop punt. Would you have rather seen Ollie with the drop punt?
I think that's each to their own. What I would say is that whichever way they go, you know, they should be clear on which way they're going to actually try and kick it. That's all I think an administrator like me can ask. And bearing in mind that I'm an administrator, not a coach, so I have nothing necessarily to talk about Ollie, to talk to Ollie about which way he tries to kick it.
Last couple, guys.
Back to the coaching situation. Would your attitude change with the assistant coaches if one of them, probably won't happen this year, but in the future, but if they get appointed as a senior coach, would your attitude change as to whether they can see out a season?
That's a good question. I think most clubs have taken the approach previously, if a guy's taking a senior role, that they do go straight away. But, I mean, it's a hypothetical that I'd probably need to think about, to be frank. And, you know, we know that both of these guys are likely to coach against us in the future. That's not necessarily an issue for us. So it's a good question.
Should the AFL look at adopting a red card system after the Andrew Duff incident?
Oh, look, again, that'll be a question that the AFL will need to answer. I'm really mindful of not putting another opinion out there. Everyone's got them at the moment, and from my perspective, I'm not sure it's that helpful. It certainly didn't help Tom Jonas a few years back.
Is there Ben Hart's name on that list of coaches looking for opportunities elsewhere? Do you make a phone call to him and ask how he'd feel about crossing the divide?
Yeah, well, look, you wouldn't. I mean, we've got a few guys who were part of their playing days at the Crows, but. I'm not silly enough to rule anyone out, but at the same time, the coaching pool is pretty big and we're not looking for too many.
Have you made your own inquiries so far?
We'll start that process from here on in. I mean, I'm aware of who's available across the competition, whether they be at AFL level or state league level. That's something that we'll have to work through into the future with Ken and as part of whatever reviewing that we're going to do between now and the end of the year and next season.
Thanks, Eddie.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks.
Good on you guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Have a good day.